Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We continue today to talk about the story of Jesus. What we're doing is looking at the various events in the life of Christ while he was here upon this earth, his period of personal ministry, and we see the things that he said and did that are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Keep in mind that these four books were not written in order to give us a biography of Jesus. It was to present evidence to prove that he was indeed the Son of God, even as God himself had confessed that he was. And today we come to the time to refer back to John the Baptist. Now, we had talked about John the Baptist previously. Of course, he was the forerunner of Christ. He had been predicted to come. He had a certain mission of announcing the way that the Lord was to come and that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. But the thing we're going to talk about John the Baptist does relate to Christ because he talks about Christ and Christ talks about John. At this time, John had been imprisoned because he had preached against the adulterous relationship between Herod and Herodias. Herodias, you see, had been married to Herod's brother, but Herod took her for himself. And John preached to them, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Well, such preaching as that angered Herodias, and she had him imprisoned. Well, while he's in prison, messengers from John came to Jesus, and John had sent them, and they asked, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Probably John, who certainly already knew the identity of Jesus, whom he called the Lamb of God, and whom he had baptized, and who had heard the confession of the Father, "This is my beloved Son," but likely he could have become somewhat discouraged and confused because he's imprisoned. He may have been only sparsely informed about what Jesus was doing. But then again, the entire event that takes place may have been intended to strengthen the faith of the disciples of John in Jesus. And I rather think that was the purpose for sending the messengers to Jesus to inquire of him. Now, Jesus told John's messengers to tell John what they saw and what they heard. And what had they seen? What had they heard? Well, that included the blind was able to see. The lame were able to walk. Lepers were cleansed. The deaf were hear. The dead were raised. Demons were cast out. The gospel was preached to the poor. You see, all these things will mark who the Messiah was and what he would do. And Jesus was doing those very things. They said, "You go back and tell John about these things." It was then that Jesus spoke concerning John and about his greatness and about his strength and how he was the one prophesied to come announcing the Messiah. He added that there was none born of woman greater than John. But then he said something most significant, friend. "But even the least in the kingdom was greater than he." Now, how could this be? This could only be possible because, you see, John was never in the kingdom. John was beheaded before the kingdom, which is the Lord's church, was established on the day of Pentecost. Jesus was exalting John, to be sure, but he was really exalting the church and the importance of being a citizen in the kingdom, a member of the Lord's church that was to come. And Jesus also rebuked the inconsistency of his hearers who had rejected John. You see, John preached in the wilderness. He was not a social man. And they refused to heed his words, though multitudes went out into the wilderness to hear him. Well, Jesus came into the cities. He was social in his activities. And they accused him of being a winebibber and a glutton. You see, it really did not make any difference who came to them or in what manner they came to him, whether it was John's way or Jesus's way. The message that was being preached is what they hated, and they refused to obey. They would not repent. Well, the preaching of Jesus became more and more pointed as his ministry continued. In spite of his many mighty works and the evidences in the Galilean cities of Capernaum and Chorazin and Bethsaida, there were many who still disbelieved. Ancient cities that they all knew were disapproved of God, like the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom. He said they would have repented, they would have done better than the hearers of Jesus, if they had been afforded the greatest opportunity to repent as the hearers of Jesus had received. Jesus said it would be more tolerable for those wicked Gentile cities in the judgment than for the cities of Galilee where Jesus worked and preached but was rejected. Now, when Jesus was in Galilee, he was invited by a Pharisee to eat with him on one occasion. Many objected that Jesus would eat with such a one, but you see, the Pharisees were considered to be so hypocritical. But Jesus reminded some of them that came to him that he came to seek and to save those that were lost. As they were about the table, a sinful woman entered, bringing in an alabaster box of ointment, and she bowed before Jesus, tears falling from her eyes. She washed his feet with her tears, drying them with her hair. She also kissed his feet in an act of adoration. And some who were watching raised criticism that if he had known who she was and what kind of person she was, he would not have allowed her to do that. But if he was who he claimed to be, he certainly would have known about her. And Jesus read the minds and the thoughts of those critics and those of his host. And he took advantage of the opportunity to teach on the subject of love and forgiveness with a very vivid illustration. He spoke of two debtors, the one who owed so much he could never repay it, and the other who owed so little. And both of them were forgiven. And then he asked, which would love the creditor the most? Well, the answer, of course, was the one who was forgiven the most. He would love the most. And Jesus concurred. And he taught the principle that when one loves much, there is much benefit. And when one loves little, there is little benefit. You see, the host had not honored him in any particular fashion. But the woman had done these things to honor him. And he then spoke the woman's sins forgiven and said, go in peace. Now, when you see this and read about this, who can fail to see the calmness, the compassion, the perception, the courage of the Master, and the profoundness of his word, plus his concern for those who are lost in sin? Well, Jesus continues his travels up and down Palestine. And one of the remarkable things about Jesus is that he spent his time in that little land. Only once or twice did he go beyond its borders. But you know, his fame reaches throughout the whole world. He did travel extensively in that land, however. Some have divided his life into various tours that he made in both northern and southern Palestine. The events in his life were attracting huge multitudes, and they were becoming more and more controversial. But his most extensive journeys were throughout Galilee. And then we read of the time when a demon was removed. Jesus met a boy possessed with a demon. The boy was both dumb and blind. And when Jesus healed him, the multitudes were amazed. More and more, even the unbelievers began to wonder whether he might indeed be the promised son of David, of whom the prophets, of course, had spoken. But his enemies said he cast out demons by the power of the devil. Now, that was a very serious and vicious charge against Jesus. But Jesus showed the inconsistency of their accusation when he said, "A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand." Satan would not be against his own kingdom. But then, as now, those who oppose Christ are often unreal and inconsistent. Jesus casting out the demon, if it was by Satan, Satan would have been against Satan. And Jesus says that does not happen. And it was at this point in his teaching that he taught concerning sinning against the Holy Spirit. Now this sin, in the context of that event, was attributing to the devil the works of God. It also was the occasion of some of his strongest words of condemnation as he called his enemies, notice now, offsprings of vipers. He rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees for their constant desire for more and more signs. Many signs had already been given, but they refused to believe. He did indeed cite a sign that was to come, which he called the sign of Jonah. Well, what was the sign of Jonah? As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and nights, so the Son of Man, that's Christ, would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. You see, 3 days and three nights denote a manner of expressing time which included a portion, at least a portion, of 3 24-hour days. And one readily recognized that Jesus was actually speaking of his own forthcoming death and his burial and his resurrection. Now, similar to other rebukes, he rebuked the people by pointing to two Old Testament characters, both of whom were Gentiles, and he mentions the people of Nineveh, how they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And then he said, "But a greater in Jonah was in their midst, and still they did not repent." He also mentioned the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, who came to marvel at the glory of Solomon. But he said, "A greater than Solomon was in their midst, and they refused to glorify him." You see, friend, these encounters were among the more tumultuous ones that with which he had to deal, with the scribes, with the Pharisees, and others who sought at times to ensnare him in his words. But Jesus seldom ever failed to use every occasion to plant some truth. His time was short, and he used it wisely. While teaching, his fleshly kin came one time to the scene, and he was told that they were there. He said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brethren?" Why, he was in no way speaking disrespectfully of his physical kin. But he said, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister." You see, what Jesus taught was that kinship with Christ spiritually was really counted more important than a fleshly family. Those who did the Father's will, they would be considered his kin. You see, friend, the spiritual tie with Christ is more to be desired than any other association that we have in life, because it not only depends upon how our own lives on earth are governed, it will depend where we exist in eternity. We need to have the relationship in Christ, faithful in Christ. That should be the goal of everyone. Well, we're going to continue with the story of Jesus in our next lessons. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.